It is almost impossible for the human mind to comprehend all of the ramifications of the coronavirus. My nephew works at hospitals as a radiology tech, but since hospitals have suspended elective measures to deal with the virus, he finds himself virtually out of work. That's happening to people all over the country. There can't possibly be enough stimulus money to make everyone whole. In his case, as with others, it becomes harder to pay debts or provide necessary items for the family. Yet we still see people, not my nephew, spending money on things that are not necessary. They find various ways to delude themselves, but forget that it's prudent to take money in savings and have cash on hand for emergencies. We used to call it saving money for a rainy day. That rainy day has turned into months with this virus, and most Americans did not prepare for it. They carry a deductible amount on their insurance, for instance, but don't pinch and save to build up that amount in savings. Saving money for most people is not easy, but that does not mean it is not necessary. Even $5 a week adds up to $260 a year, and while that may not seem like a lot of money, you can cover a $500 deductible in just 2 years. We have become a society that wants immediate gratification. We must have that shiny object now. It takes something like this crisis to show us how important it is to plan ahead. God will bring us through this. And when that happens, I hope that all Americans will heed the lessons learned, and that drifting away from God, as we've been doing, brings with it repercussions. Does America really want a president who preaches pessimism during a crisis, or one who offers us hope? When the Democrat president, Franklin Roosevelt, told us in 1941 that we were now at war with Japan, the Democrats roared their approval as Roosevelt assured the country that we have nothing to fear but fear itself. FDR was trying to reassure Americans that there was every reason for hope. When Donald Trump spoke the same message of hope in confronting the coronavirus pandemic, Democrats lambasted him from all sides. What would they have him do? Preach pessimism to the masses? The president said that he would love to have America back open by Easter, and Democrats attacked him. Never mind that Trump said several times that he would be led by the medical experts as to when that change might come about. He listened to those experts and would now love to have the country open again by the end of April. That may or may not be possible, and Trump will be guided by the medical experts that he's gathered around him. Should the president have said he would hate to have our country back open by Easter? The lying media reported that Trump had reversed his position. But that was not true. He did not say that he would open the country by Easter, only that he would love to. Therefore, he did not reverse a decision. These are the lies the media tells to assist Democrats in trying to upset the 2016 election. No president in our history has been able to completely control the onset of a crisis. This pandemic is a battle we should all be united in. But instead, Joe Biden and the Democrat Party chooses to make war on Trump rather than the pandemic. Biden tells the media what he would have done about the crisis if he was president. But what Biden describes is simply a regurgitation of what President Trump has already done. Like many of you, I have been frustrated with politics in our country, but I have now moved past frustration and into outright disgust. This country was more than $23 trillion in debt before the coronavirus pandemic suddenly struck, and experts were warning us then that this level of debt was unsustainable. This pandemic is not the fault of the president or either one of the two political parties. But one of those parties has chosen to make the virus a political issue as a means of damaging President Trump. That disgusting behavior was bad enough, but the Democrats were not through. The Senate Republicans, led by Mitch McConnell, and Senate Democrats, led by Chuck Schumer, worked for several days on a bill to bring aid and comfort to the American people who had lost their jobs, small businesses that had to close its doors and lay their workers off, and major employers like the airline and health industry, which has been virtually brought to a standstill. Deep misery was being spread across the country. Not just the health effects of this pandemic, but the economic effects that threaten not just America, but the global economy as well. It was time to come together as patriotic Americans and end those discussions by taking action. And just as things appeared to be coming together, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rode her private government jet back from her mansion in San Francisco to undo the nearly complete deal. Following this deceitful woman, the Democrat Party saw a unique opportunity to push Republicans against the wall and get many of their special interest giveaways added into the bill. Chuck Schumer backed off and let Pelosi run the show. She packed the stimulus bill with off-the-wall demands like millions for the Kennedy Center, more power for unions, millions for Congress to free spend on so-called expenses, and many other socialist perks they had not been able to get through a Republican Senate majority. The list of Pelosi's demands were long and expensive. To try and excuse her behavior, Pelosi tried to tell the American people that her reason for holding up the stimulus package was because it had too many perks for corporations. But if that was true, Pelosi and Schumer should have stood their ground until the Republicans took out the corporate perks they had disagreed with. But the Democrats did not center on taking corporate perks out of the bill. Their demands were to blow the debt even further apart by adding hundreds of billions of more debt. Democrats, like sheep following their shepherd, tried to force Republicans to agree to multi-millions of our tax dollars to benefit illegal aliens. Meanwhile, the dishonest mainstream media was only too glad to spread so-called news from Democrats, which added to the nation's panic. We are led to believe that if Donald Trump was not president, there would have been no coronavirus. That is obviously a lie. Trump did not whip up this pandemic in the White House cellar. It began in Wuhan, China, where the Chinese people have a live market selling bats and rats, snakes and dogs to be eaten by backward people. There are now more than 150 countries across the world who have been touched by this pandemic, including the United States. Not one of those countries was prepared for this sudden disruption. Democrats accused Trump for the United States not being stocked up and ready for something that no one knew was coming. That's not just absurd, it's dishonest. The United States is comprised of 50 states. Each of them has a governor who is responsible for their state's readiness. Like the president, these governors did not have any idea that this pandemic was coming. It caught the states by surprise, as it did the federal government. Pelosi, Schumer, and their followers blame it all on Trump. Pelosi is the majority leader of the House, and Schumer is the minority leader of the Senate. If blame is to be passed around, why had they not sounded the alarm and got the country ready? Simply because they, like the president, did not know it was coming. The loudest complaints are coming from states led by Democrat governors. They expect the federal government to bail them out. But each state is responsible for its own preparedness. The federal government does not bear responsibility to stock up masks, ventilators, and respirators for all of the states. Governors are quick to insist that the federal government stay out of their business until a crisis occurs. In the case of an emergency like this pandemic, states can ask the federal government for help, but not demand that the federal government shoulder all of the responsibility. With the heavy demand for help, the Trump administration has been sending help as quickly as possible. Despite the vengeful rhetoric spewing from Pelosi, Schumer, Bernie, and Biden, the president has worked tirelessly and without pay to lessen the pain of our people. Pelosi, Schumer, Bernie, and Biden keep drawing their paychecks while Trump donates his to help his country. These backbiters want us to believe that they could have handled this pandemic better than Trump. But none of them tells us what they would have done that Trump hasn't already done. In fact, each of them has said that they would not have instituted a ban on Chinese people coming into our country, as Trump did to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Trump did that in January to try and halt infection levels. These same Democrats said Trump was a racist and a xenophobe for taking an action that undoubtedly saved hundreds, if not thousands, of American lives. Now the Democrats say he didn't act quickly enough. This after Biden said he would not have acted at all. While Mexico and Canada have instituted a ban on entry there, Biden and the Democrats still call for open borders on our side. Meanwhile, Pelosi delayed help for American families by blackmailing Republicans. Her unceasing demands for costly things to be added into the relief bill, things that had nothing to do with the coronavirus pandemic, placed greater stress on our people. Republicans have been blamed by some for caving in to some of Pelosi's demands. But time was of the essence. The American pain grew more intense with each passing day, days that were being stalled. To their credit, Senate Republicans managed to get many of the things on Pelosi's wish list out of the bill. Still, there were many onerous things in there that required holding the nose to vote for. We should all be in favor of fighting Democrat blackmail, regardless of the time it takes. But in this case, we were in a crisis, and that crisis grew greater every hour. The American people were suffering, and acute anxiety was spreading rapidly from Maine to California and from Washington State to Florida. New York was becoming the epicenter of the virus in the United States, and still, Pelosi and Schumer drug their feet on the relief recovery bill. Democrat Ocasio-Cortez was demanding that illegal aliens be given money from the bill. Yes, Republicans could have refused to include even one of Pelosi's demands in exchange for Democrats approving the bill, but that would have been at the expense of our suffering people. Meanwhile, the stock market was falling faster than vodka down Pelosi's throat. The blame for not approving the recovery package is solely on a Democrat party that follows Nancy Pelosi blindly. This was straight-up blackmail, an attempt to get their special interests passed. Interests that Democrats would never have gotten passed on their own. They had tried many times, only to be rebuffed by Republicans. The Democrat logic was to flood the room with dense smoke, crawl carefully across the floor, and insert their wildest wish list into the recovery bill. Ask yourself this. What is demanding tens of millions of dollars for the Kennedy Center having to do with a bill to combat the coronavirus? Even the dumbest Democrat cannot truthfully answer that question. In the midst of all of this, this pandemonium we saw Hillary Clinton with, lurking in the dark shadows, hurling insults at the man who beat her in 2016. Hillary Clinton has become totally irrelevant. Nobody these days is paying her hundreds of thousands to speak before them. She no longer has any power to enable Russia to acquire more of our uranium. Hillary carries more baggage than a Pullman train packed with Shriners on convention. Joe Biden carries the 2020 banner for Democrats. But it is painful to watch him stutter and stammer over large and small issues. Biden is not of sound mind. And even if Democrats managed to get Biden elected in 2020, it would be just a matter of time, short time, before his vice presidential pick has to take over. So who would that be? That is a major concern, because Biden seems to be leaning towards one of the candidates who already dropped out of the Democrat race. In other words, a loser could become Biden's vice president. A loser that the Democrat voters have already rejected. Biden has pledged that if elected, his vice president would be a woman. Is that not sexist? This is a blatant ploy to gain the women's vote. Can you imagine a male Republican saying that he would not consider a woman for vice president? It had to be a male. No president should pick a vice president based on gender. Pick the best qualified for the post. And if that is a woman, so much the better. Barack Hussein Obama was elected based on skin color. How did that turn out for America? Now, some Democrats would say it turned out well. So why then has Donald Trump had to pick up all the scattered pieces of debris left by Obama-Biden in order to stabilize our economy? As Pelosi and the Democrat Party stalled the pandemic recovery bill, the stock market continued to fall. True to form, the Democrats and their fake news allies put all of the blame on Donald Trump. Let me ask you this. Did Trump cause the virus to spread in Italy, in Spain, anywhere else on the globe? What was happening to that robust economic growth that Trump had talked about, the Democrats ask? Simple. Democrat blackmail in the Senate was the culprit. Stockholders, many of whom are small investors, panicked and began to sell off in desperation. Some politicians from both parties, using inside information, took profits off the table before the crash by selling their stocks. Many of those same politicians have returned to buy back some of the same stocks at rock-bottom prices. That should greatly concern us all. President Trump immediately surrounded himself with the best medical experts in America. Doctors Brix and Fauci are the best we have. Dr. Fauci himself was a Hillary Clinton supporter. And at first, Democrats applauded him for his hesitancy to embrace the president's upbeat projections. But as Dr. Fauci saw the Democrats and the press try to pit him against the president, he came forward to admonish them. He has spoken of his approval of the way Trump is combating this pandemic. For that honesty, Democrats have begun to turn against Dr. Fauci. They are perfectly content to use this pandemic as a political sledgehammer in order to damage the president. Having studied the recovery bill, let me say this. I, too, had misgivings about some of the things in the recovery bill that do favor big corporations. And I would have stood with Democrats if they had concentrated their efforts on removing those corporate benefits. But that's not what they did. They complained about them, about corporate benefits in the bill. But rather than demand those benefits be removed from the bill, they decided to leave most of them in and take this great opportunity to insert their special interest pork into the bill. That ballooned the debt of the bill to $2.2 trillion, and that debt to more than $23 trillion we already owed, makes us have a totally unsustainable debt going forward. And there is talk of coming back for another round of funny money. Nancy Pelosi's already ginning it up. We can borrow money for the foreseeable future, and that will keep us afloat during my lifetime. And if you're over 65, it might keep us afloat during your lifetime. But how much do you love your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren? This burden will fall upon their generation with a resounding thud. I hate to be a wet blanket, but I see babies being born to the joy of their parents and grandparents, but who have a lifetime of tribulations and stifling debt in their path to adulthood due to the irresponsibility of politicians from both parties who created this massive debt full of special interests to keep their donors supplying them with the money needed for their next election cycle. Is it not time to demand that both political parties sober up and revisit many of the social programs that have become a real burden upon us? We can start with foreign aid. That's money given by the United States government to governments of other nations. We borrow our money and pay substantial interest rates. Yet we give money to other nations. We've even given money to China in the past. How wise was that? Figures from 2017 show that the U.S. spent over $50 billion on foreign aid for that year, 2017, and that aid has increased measurably since that time. Many countries across the world receive foreign aid from the United States, but there are a few that receive significant amounts. Iraq received over $5 billion in 2016. Afghanistan also received over $5 billion. Israel received over $3 billion. Egypt and Jordan each received over $1 billion in aid. These countries receive a significant amount in military aid. In fact, Israel's $3.1 billion was all in military aid. Countries in Africa received about 32% of U.S. aid. So much for our being racists. Those nations that benefit most include Nigeria, Kenya, Ethiopia, and Tanzania. About 31% of U.S. aid is spent on the Middle East, while 25% is spent in Asia. Should we not cut back on foreign aid to balance our own checkbook? And that leads us to social programs that have been put into place over time that reward foreign aliens for breaking our laws by slipping into the country unchecked or overstaying their visas. Ascertaining the size of the illegal immigrant population is very difficult. Estimates range from 10.5 million to 12 million illegal aliens in this country. Some experts believe it may be double that number, but nobody truly knows. Immigrants from Mexico have recently, for the first time, fallen to less than half of the illegal population, according to Pew. In 2017, about 4.95 million of the estimated 10.5 illegal population were from Mexico, 1.9 million from Central America, and 1.45 million from Asia. Illegal immigration has shifted since 2010 from illegal border crossings to visa overstays. In 2016, 62% of the illegal aliens here were here because they overstayed their visa. It's time to take action against those who overstay their visa. When caught, they should be deported and never be considered for U.S. citizenship in the future. It is time to start unwinding the social programs being taken advantage of by illegal aliens. We should not give people incentives to break our laws and come here illegally. It costs American taxpayers tens of billions of tax dollars every year. Streamline the deportation process and end the payouts. Elect a Democrat who's been in Washington politics for more than four decades without presenting any answers for our problems, and who wants us to believe that he has suddenly found those answers after four decades, and you have Joe Biden. This vote coming up in November is not about political party. Certainly it isn't for me. It's about patriotism and love for our country over hate for Donald Trump. It's up to us all to decide which side we will go with. I thank you for joining me today. We are in extremely difficult times. I don't have to tell you that. But we are panicking unnecessarily. One death from this pandemic is too much. But when they tell us that we may lose 200, 300,000 Americans, we can be astounded at that figure. We become concerned about that figure. But when you consider that there are over 350 million Americans, 200 to 300,000 doesn't seem that great a percentage. That doesn't mean we turn our back on that 200 or 300,000 or even one. It means that we don't blow it out of proportion. God's going to bring us through this. I know that. I pray every night for it. I'm sure you do too. If you don't, you should. Again, thank you for joining me. And I'll be back again next week. Same time, same station, God willing.